Because of your love I come to worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. Boldly approach your throne, grateful for all you've done, I come to worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
So excited this morning. First of all, I would like to say thank you to Pastor Gordon for giving me the opportunity to really speak this morning. When he asked me a few weeks back, I started just searching in my heart and asking the Lord, what is it that I need to share? And as he rightly said about, 3 weeks ago, I was floored with the worst flu you can imagine, and I was supposed to speak on the 3rd. But the devil could not hold me. The devil could not hold me. When the word of God is to be spoken, it will be spoken. It will be spoken. Now, I think I have probably about half an hour.
Yeah, a wee bit more.
A wee bit more. I would say to the people on the sound at the back, if I get to 20 minutes, please wave a hand. 25, two hands. If I get to 26, two hands and a foot, maybe. If I get to 27, maybe you can do both. It's so exciting to be here this morning, to be able to share. Well, the title of the word I have this morning is Fight Discouragement by the Power of His Name. Fight discouragement by the power of His name. Now, which name is it? The name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not Pastor Gordon's name.
Uh-huh.
It's not Samba's name. It's nobody else's name but the name of Jesus.
Yes.
By the power of His name, fight discouragement. And we have the main text we have this morning is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 1 to 58. But you'll be glad to know that we are not reading the whole chapter. There are some bits that we will, gather here and there. But to give you some idea as to, what exactly is happening in this chapter, it's a story that perhaps most of us would be familiar with, and that's David and Goliath. And the Bible teaches us that the Philistines came and they were fighting Israel. And The Philistines, they fought Israel before. So they fought many times the people of Israel. And it is written that this time round, the people of Israel, they were totally dismayed and they were in fear. And we will find that in, if you are now in chapter 17, 1 Samuel, and verse 11. It says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Few chapters back, it is written that Israel, they were fighting the Philistine. They fought the Philistine and they won. But this time, they come and they see the same people that they fought before, and they are afraid. And they're dismayed. They petrified. Why? It's the same people. The same issues that we have won in the past. The same sickness, the same problems. We face them again. It's the same enemy that comes. But this time, we're dismayed. But this time, we're petrified. But this time, we think that we will not have the victory. And one of the things that Israel has always done, when they were going to war with their enemies, they will consult the Lord. They would come through the prophet to find out what to do. But in this chapter, there is nothing that says that Israel consulted the Lord. In fact, if we look at the life of Saul, he was so much a man who followed God and who loved God. But then as time went on, he was drifting away from God. And he wanted to do things his own way. And so here we are. They are fighting the same enemies, but they are petrified. They are dismayed. They are wondering how they can fight this enemy. Now, this enemy, this time, normally they will come and they will charge on each other. But this time, the enemy has found another strategy. Instead of bringing the whole army, they brought one man. And this man was so powerful. And this man was huge. And this man was extraordinary in his ability. And so he was defying the people of Israel. And when they saw this man, they were afraid. They were afraid. They were dismayed. In fact, if we look at verse 24 of the same chapter 17, this is what the word of God says. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. So there was unbelief in the camp. There was unbelief in the camp. And as I said, the enemies that they were facing were exactly the same enemies whom they defeated in the past. Can I just say on the outset, the devil doesn't like you. I said the devil doesn't like you. He's not your friend. He doesn't care about you. Not one little bit. And that's something that we need to understand. The devil doesn't like us. The minute that we are children of God, the devil doesn't like us. And sometimes we act as if, well, the devil is there, we're here, and everything is fine. No, it's not fine, because the devil doesn't like you. Even if you think that, you know, he's not getting into your way and he's not doing anything, he's looking for an opportunity to get to you. Because the Bible says that he's like a roaring lion. He's looking around. He's looking for you. So be aware the devil is not your friend. He's never been your friend. He will not be your friend. The devil is not your friend. And not just that, the devil is a liar. That's what the Bible says. I said the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar and a thief and a false accuser. He whispers that you can't do it. He comes and says you do not have what it takes to make it. He comes and says that you are weak. You are not strong. You are hopeless. You do not count. The devil is a liar. My God, the devil is a liar. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. But I got good news for you. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is on your side. The minute that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we are children of the living God. Children of the living God. So He is the one who guides us. He is the one who enables us. So we are not in any way having to have any fear about the devil. That was just the introduction. Fight discouragement by turning your back to it. Fight discouragement by turning your back to it. That's the first point. Now, fighting does not mean that one will remain idle. It means you have to get up and do something. Fight. Fight. Fight the devil by turning your back to it. Come with me on the same chapter 17 and verse 30. This is what the Bible says. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. Now, just to give you a context, David was sent by his dad to go and see his brothers. Three of his brothers, there were eight of them in the family, three of them were sent to join Saul and the armies of Israel to fight the Philistine. And so David was going back and forth to find out how they were getting on. And in this instance, when David came along, he went to see his brothers. And as he did so, he was finding out exactly, you know, what was going on. And then when he did, that's when Goliath came out of his rank. And he was, at that point, just challenging the people of Israel. And David was absolutely incensed about it. And so he started asking what was going to happen to the man who kills this enemy. And his brother was angry, the Bible says, if you look at the verses before that. In fact, let's read it. It says, "Why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep?" When I read that, actually, I thought it was very funny. Those few sheep in the desert. "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." This is his own brother. The same brother who certainly would have wanted to be anointed by Samuel. Because you remember the chapters before, Samuel was sent by God to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And so they were all going round, and starting from Eliab, who was the eldest, and God said, no, not him, and so on and so forth. But it just so happened that David was not around. He was forgotten, because they didn't think that God was going to use the youngest. So he was forgotten. He was forgotten. And that's why at this point, when David heard what his brother said, the Bible says he turned his back. Fight discouragement by turning your back. Don't listen to discouragement. Because had it been that David was facing his brother and carried on hearing the things he was saying, which were really nasty, it will bring him down. It will bring him down. But you know what? He said, to himself, I'm not going to listen to that. Yeah. Turn your back. And one of the things that I think we ought to be doing when we hear discouragement is go around and say, I'm not listening. I am not listening. Turn your back. Turn your back. I'm not listening. Like my children would say, say what? When you talk, say what? Put the ears phone on. That's what they say. So I'm not listening to discouragement because that is not going to build me. I'm not paying attention to discouragement because it will bring me down. You have to fight. Fight means that you do not remain idle, because if you remain in the same position, you are listening to the negative thing that is coming into your heart, and that's going to bring you down. So you hear it, you say, I am not listening. I am not listening. I am not listening to discouragement, because that will bring me down. That will bring me down. Second thing, which I feel we ought to be doing, again, that's a spiritual thing. I'm not asking you to go and on Monday and your boss is saying some really nasty things, and then you say, I am not listening. I am not listening. It's a spiritual matter. Inside you, you say, I am not going to take this with me. The things you are saying, they're not for me. They're not for me. So therefore, I leave it right there. And I go on. The other thing, which I think we ought to be doing to fight discouragement, is, you remember a few years back, the kids, teenage talk to the hand, they would say. Talk to the hand. You talk to the children. And if they didn't want to listen, they would say, talk to the hand. But you know what? They would say it with such swagger. Talk to the hand. I am not listening. I don't think I'll be doing very well on the catwalk. Talk to the hand. You have to say it. You have to say it. I am not listening. Talk to the hand. In other words, the thing that you are saying, they will come right here and they'll bounce back. Not to me. Not to me. Talk to the hands. Talk to the hands. Again, it's a spiritual matter. When you're having some, you know, difficulties with people at work and people at home and people in the neighborhood, I'm not asking you to go around and say, talk to the hand. But it's a spiritual matter, people. Yeah. It is a spiritual matter. Inside you, you have to learn to say, I am not taking this because it's not going to build me. Yeah. So therefore, talk to the hand. Therefore, I am not listening. Therefore, I am putting the headphones on. We have to dare some time to do these things, because these are things that will build us. The devil is not your friend. The devil doesn't like you. And so he will bring discouragement in so many ways. The way the dictionary describes discouragement, in fact, there are two meanings. One is to say that to persuade somebody to stop doing something that obviously was negative. The second thing, which is what we're talking about, is to cause someone to lose enthusiasm and confidence. Did you hear that? Yeah. To lose confidence and enthusiasm. So we have the enthusiasm of knowing that the Lord is on our side, the Lord is for us, and the devil comes and he says, no, not you. Maybe Elaine, but not you. Maybe Pastor Gordon, but not you. And we have to stand and fight that and say, I'm not listening to you now. I have no time for that. Because I know that I am a child of God. And you are telling me that I am not. I am an overcomer, and you are telling me I'm not. So I have to fight that.
Yes.
You have to fight that.
Yeah.
You have to fight that. Sitting and doing nothing is not the answer.
That's right.
It is not the answer. The devil doesn't like you. So the fight with Israel and the Philistines, they were not just sitting there, because if they did, nothing would happen. As we can see later on in the story, David was incensed that the enemy would come and defy the army of the Lord Most High, the living God, the living God. Now, I've given you two descriptions about just fighting discouragement. I have a third one. Now, I have a feeling that this one will go viral. All right? It will go viral. Now, if you turn your Bible into Luke chapter 9, verse 5, and as we're doing that, I will do something else. Luke chapter 9, verse 5. Now, for the people who are watching me, can I just say that this morning, for the benefit of the people who are at the front seat, I have not just clean socks, I have put on my feet some old toilette. And not any eau de toilette, molten brown eau de toilette. All right? That's right. Now here it is. So this will go viral. You've heard it here for the first time. Luke chapter 9, verse 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus sent his disciples to go and speak the word of God and preach the gospel and pray for people. And this is what he says. If people do not welcome you, shake your dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. In other words, what Jesus was saying, you will go in places and they will bring discouragement into your life. And what I want you to do is leave the place. So discouragement is here. He says, dust your feet. And earlier on I said, I'm not listening. Talk to the hands. But the new one is, talk to the feet. Talk to the feet. And you come and discouragement is here. You say, talk to the feet. Yeah. I'm not listening. Talk to the feet. If discouragement is here, now watch out, Pastor Gordon. Talk to the feet. It's molten brown. Amen. Tuck your shoes and say, talk to the feet. I am sorry I did not have any pedicure this week. Normally I would have taken my socks off, but I didn't. But that's how you do it. Amen. Talk to the feet. Walk out, Jesus said. Don't sit there because they didn't welcome you, because they didn't like you, because they didn't encourage you. Walk out. And say, talk to the feet. In other words, I am not paying attention. Oh, I got a sign at the back. Talk to the feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's a dimension to the fact that actually Pastor Gordon has asked me to speak today. I need to put my shoes on. You want me to leave them off? I'll leave them off. Okay. Thank you. Normally he's not here. He's away. But today he's here and I'm thinking, wow, you know, what shall I do? And as I was preparing this, I was lying down in bed and I had something came in my heart and I was laughing because I believe that God has given me that. Now, if your name is Josephine, I apologize for what I'm about to say. I'm using the name Josephine because I love the name Josephine. It's not to cause you any distress. If you know somebody who's called Josephine, please let them know that it is meant in the most loving way, the best way to put it. So here it is. This is the call to Pastor Gordon. So normally Pastor Gordon would not have been here, and in the middle of doing all this, Josephine picks up the phone and rings Pastor Gordon. Hello, Pastor Gordon. Hello, who's this? It's Josephine. Oh, Josephine, I'm preaching here, you know. I know that because you're not here. All right. Josephine, what's the matter? Well, we have a situation here, Pastor Gordon. This chap that you got to speak in church today, whatever his name is, his name is Samba. Who? That's a funny name, that, isn't it? Samba, yes. Well, I don't think I'll remember that name, but anyway. Well, Josephine, if you forget the name, just think of the Brazilian dance, La Samba. La what? La Samba. Well, I don't know. I'm not too sure I can remember. I've never been to Brazil myself. Anyway, here is Josephine saying, the situation is now, Pastor Gordon, this man that you brought here, and whatever his name is, he has taken his shoes off. Now, we're beginning to worry what's going to come off next. Josephine, rest assured, it's only the shoes that are coming off. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that was the call to Pastor Gordon. Can I just tell you people? One of the things that we can do to fight discouragement is to say, and you speak it, and say, not today. Not today. I will not be discouraged. When the things come and try to bring you down, you have to learn sometimes to say, not today. I will not be discouraged today. It doesn't matter how often you say it today. It doesn't matter how bad you say it today. It doesn't matter how vile it is today. I will not be discouraged by the thing that you're saying. I will not be discouraged today. You see, because sometimes we have carried, all of us in some way, this attitude of using the language, oh, c'est la vie. That's how it is. Oh, that's life. Sometimes it's not c'est la vie. Because the thing that some people accept, you have to defy that and say, I will not accept that. It's not c'est la vie. No. That's what David said, because the whole of the army of Israel, they were petrified, they were dismayed, and they were saying, oh, this is not going to happen, and we're not going to have any victory. But he dared to believe that it is going to be God that will bring the victory. So it's not c'est la vie. You have to stop that. Dare to believe when nobody is believing. Dare to believe when nobody is believing. And one of the things that I felt so excited was that, you know, at the beginning of the year, One of the things I was saying over and over and over again is, I am not afraid anymore. Because sometimes there are situations that come into your life. There are things that happen to your life. They bring fear, just like Israel. They were afraid. And I am not afraid anymore because I have Christ in me. I am not afraid anymore. You have to say it. You have to say it. I am not afraid anymore because I have Christ in me. Now, does that mean that you will not have some setbacks? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that you will not lose some battles sometimes? No, it doesn't, because you will. But what it does, it builds you up to the point that you will not accept things to be normal. It brings you to the point of you are not saying c'est la vie. It enables you to remain strong in trusting that no matter how big the giant is, God will be fighting for you.
Yes, amen.
No, I don't think they heard it. God will be fighting for you.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
The Lord will be fighting for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Very quickly, discouragement can be something that will steal your destiny and your dreams, and you have to fight it. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
Discouragement will try to steal your dreams and your destiny. Because here's David. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king one day. And here he is talking to his brother, who is saying some vile things to him. But David stood and said, I will not take this. I will not allow discouragement to take away my destiny and my dreams. Because God has anointed me to one day become king, and therefore I will not allow discouragement to take away what God has put in my heart. Can I tell you people, fight discouragement to stop what God has put in your heart. The devil doesn't like you, but the devil is a liar.
Amen.
What God, the dreams, bring them back to life. Bring them back to life. Trust that God, what he has said will be.
Yes.
No matter what the situation that you face, no matter what the difficulties you face, God will be with you.
Yes.
I've just had a dance at the very back, so that means I have to very much try and quicken my speech just now. Don't allow discouragement to disrupt your momentum. Amen. I have authority from the authority. So I shall speak. Amen. Hallelujah. He's passed on the button, so I am speaking. Hallelujah. Don't allow discouragement to disrupt your momentum. See, David, he was so excited about talking about the fact that he believed that God was going to deliver Israel. And he turns around and his brother is saying some nasty things. So he, if he's not careful, suddenly it's like, I give up. I give up because what I've just heard is just pulling me down. But no, this is not David. He is standing and saying, this, what I believe, will carry me. And therefore, no matter what my brother says, it will count to nothing. It will count to nothing. And there are things in your life that some people, you know, you feel excited and you go and see somebody and they say something and you go flat. Don't allow that. Don't allow the momentum to be taken away from you. Simply because somebody is saying something that is going to do so. You have some time to say, what I feel in my heart, I will carry no matter what happens. Oh, I feel so excited.
We want to hear.
Amen. What God has put in your heart, you need to carry it. And don't allow nothing to stop you. Because if you're not careful, you lose the momentum and it takes a lot of time to come back to it again. And it's like somebody said something last week and you carry it this week and the following week and the week after. And before you know, the dreams that you've been carrying, the excitement that you had is gone. Yeah. So don't allow discouragement to take the momentum that God has put in your heart. And avoid the expert discouragers. Now, what I mean by that, if you follow me in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I'll read that very quickly. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will you restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble and burned as they are?" And he goes on, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones." There are some expert discouragers. And these are people you need to avoid in your life. Because they will not build you. If you know some people in your life who have no intention but to bring you down, walk away from them. Fight and walk away from them. Again, people, it's a spiritual matter. I'm not asking you to engage in a fist fight. I'm not asking you to sort of, you know, put your face in other people's faces. It's a spiritual matter in your heart. You are determined to say that what these people are doing will not affect you, because who is in me, that is Christ, is greater than the one in the world. He has the power to enable me to walk and be strong. Amen. Avoid the expert discouragers in your life. And the enemy is not after your body. You can take your body. What the enemy is after is your mind. He's after your head. He's trying to get into your head to say, "Did God really say that?" You remember Eve?
Yeah.
Did God really say that you will be able to overcome? Did God really say that you will have this job? Because you were so excited for a moment that you will get the job, and then somebody will come, "Oh, you know, you don't have what it takes, you don't have the skills and all that. You haven't got a job yet," but you are determined in your heart that God is going to provide, because God has promised you that job. And so you will not listen to the enemy. You will not listen to those people who are trying to bring you down. Did God really say that he will heal you? Did God really say that he will give you that partner? Did God really say that he will give you this pastor? Come on. We have some time to stand and say no. He didn't hear me. Sometimes we have to say no. We have to say no. Fight for yourself. There are some fights, it's not the pastor who's going to do it for you. Some fight, it's not your mother or your dad who will do it for you. Sometimes it's not your friend who will do it for you. Some fights, you have to do it yourself. Yourself. Me and myself. But me and myself being that because Christ is in me, I am able to overcome. I am able to overcome. Hallelujah. And discouragement says you were nothing but. If you go back to chapter 17, and we're going to read chapter verse 33 and 42. 33 and 42. Hallelujah. 33. Thank you, Jesus. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting a fighting man from his youth." And verse 42, this is what it says. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy. Whenever you hear somebody say to you, "You are only," what is coming is going to be negative. "You are nothing but." "You are only a boy," they said to him. "You are only a boy. But we will not accept these descriptions to stick on us. When somebody comes at work, at home, in the neighborhood, wherever it is, but you know, you are not capable because of your past. You are only going to fail." What they don't know is God is enabling you to overcome. So don't listen to the fact that somebody is saying you are only. And finally, for this first point, turn, because now you've turned away from discouragement, you have to turn to something. Turn to the Barnabas of your world. Turn to the people that will encourage you. The Bible says that Barnabas was named a son of encouragement. His name was Joseph. But because he was known to be an encourager, he became a son of encourager. And so turn towards the people that you know will encourage you. Avoid the expert discouragers and turn towards those who will encourage you. One of the things that Pastor Gordon tend to say is go for it. Heather says that to the kids. Go for it. These are the people that you need to turn to. Because you know you bring your heart, you bring your dreams, you bring your aspiration with God. And you know that they will run with you. They will say, go for it. Because when they say go for it, they know that you are not on your own. That God will be with you in the midst of it. So turn to the Barnabas of your world. Turn to the Barnabas of your world. I will very quickly do the last bit. I haven't seen two hands and two legs up there. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Come to your senses. Remember that you serve the sovereign and almighty God. Do not doubt the Lord. Do not doubt the Lord. Like Thomas. Now you remember Thomas, he said, "Unless I see." Now some of the ladies will quickly say, "Well, we know it, these men folk, you know, they struggle to believe. They struggle to believe all the time." But I tell you what, like the two Marys, so not so fast, ladies, the Bible says, there were two Marys, the two Marys and Joanna. The Bible said, and you can find that in Luke 24, verse 5 to 6. It said they were told that the Lord will rise again. But they still went to the tomb anyway. See, people, you are not supposed to be defeated. You are not supposed to be defeated. Now, that doesn't mean that you will not lose a battle, as I said earlier. Because Christ is in me, gives me strength. There are times that people will say things, people do things, and suddenly, you know, I'm all over the place. But the fact that I believe that God is on my side enables me to carry on. You are a winner in Christ. even when sometimes it means losing battles. So very finally, they thought that, I think his brother, that's David's brother, thought he was arrogant to come and say things. And you know, sometimes you bring up your dreams and you bring up your aspiration and people think you're arrogant. Sometimes there is unbelief in the camp and you are the only one that believes that actually God can gonna do this, and people think you're arrogant, but you're not arrogant. So who do you think you are, they will say. You simply dare to believe. I am who the Lord says I am. Who am I then, I hear you ask? And this is the very final thing. Do you want me to tell you? Do you think that you are just looking at Samba Binja, you know, and there is more than meet the eye? I will tell you the real me. Well, I am a child of God. I am an heir of God. Co-heir of Christ, the Bible says. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. That's what the Bible says. That's the real me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me, who loves me. That's who I am. Oh no, this is not Samba Binja you're talking to. This is the one who has been saved by grace. I am at the head, not the tail. That's who he says I am. I am loved and saved and forgiven by God. I am empowered by God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. You want me to tell you more? I'm anointed by God. I am made in the image of God. I am the apple of his eye. Isn't that exciting? I am the apple of his eye. You are the apple of his eye. I am powerful in Christ. I am blessed in Christ. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. I am blessed during the day. I am blessing when I am down. I am blessed when I am happy. I am blessed when things work out. I am blessed when things don't work out, because I know in whom I trust. Hallelujah. I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I am alive in Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. That's who I am. Amen. Amen.
That'll preach. That was worth waiting for, wasn't it? Who needed to hear that this morning? I tell you, Samba, you should see all the hands that are raised. That'll be an encouragement to you. And I just want to say, that's preached out of the reality of this man's situation. There's been lots that's gone on in the first couple of months of this year that could have Samba down. That could have Samba in rock bottom. He's preached out of his experience. It's a word that has been incarnational. It's a reality. Encourage him before you go home, would you? Father, we love you. We're so grateful. So, so grateful for your word. So thankful that you want to minister your encouragement, Lord, in the face of discouragement. Lord, I pray that we would steward our hearts really well. Lord, I pray that even for the moment right now where there might be doubt, that we would want to creep in and say, that's all right for everybody else. They don't know. Samba doesn't know what you're going through. Lord, I thank you that you know what each and every person is going through. Lord, there's been a theme that's run through this morning of you reminding us of who we are in Christ. And Lord, we say we hear you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that it brings. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings. And thank you, Lord, for the strength that we now have to face the week that's coming. And Lord, help us and look for opportunities, not just to not be discouraged, but Lord, to actually encourage other people with the love of God. Father, thank you for Samba. Thank you for Jane. Thank you for the family, Lord God, and for the way that you are ministering to them, blessing them, and using them in this place. Lord, would you meet every need? Would you be the God of blessing in every circumstance, in every sphere and area of their life, Lord God? I pray it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we would just be have your blessing as we leave. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen.
Crafted with